The gospel this morning is from the 14th chapter of John. And Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." And then Jesus says to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. For peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't let them be afraid." It's the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, they've got them in hotels. They've got them in elite car dealerships. They've got them in law firms. They've got them in high-end health clubs. And what I'm referring to is your own personal concierge service. You know, someone to wait on your every need. Because we kind of like stuff like that. I mean, you can even get them in your cars. I mean, we've had them on Star. I'm sure everybody has heard of that. Some of you may have it. It's been going on for quite a few years now. I mean, this is a system that it knows where you are, how to get to where you're going, what's good to eat on the way, and the movies that might be interesting along the way. And if this seems far-fetched to some of you, still, I can assure you, I have been called by a few couple of large banks in the company with an offer that supposedly I just can't refuse. And the offer was my own personal servant. Huh. I mean, someone that my wife or I could call anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they'll make reservations for us, they'll arrange car service, pay our bills, make appointments, send a cab, order groceries, you name it, and we can have all of this for ourselves for 10 bucks a month. And when I told this gal that we weren't interested, she said, "Well, Mr. Erdman, what is it that you don't like about saving money and time and having somebody serve you?" Well, I simply told her that we're just not interested. But, you know, 5 days later, I got another phone call. Different person, same offer. It just seems that we love to be served, to have our needs catered to the point where it has become a significant fad in many business ventures. It's become all about self-gratification. Having everything, you know, right at our fingertips. You know, anything that I might need to fix or satisfy, any issue that I might be having. And that means right now, not in an hour or two, I mean right now. I mean, we don't need to leave the house, and we don't need to involve anyone or anything anymore. That's the direction things are kind of headed, to a point of serenity within our own little space, with nothing to worry about or concern ourselves with. The thing that's interesting about this is that this kind of life, well, it's the kind that would drive you away from the Holy Spirit. In fact, the more consumed you are in your own little world, the more uncomfortable the Spirit is going to make you. I mean, just see, try and picture yourself in the story today in Acts. Just think of this story. Think of it happening in Bismarck. You know, if you have a summer street fair or some festival that goes on, you know, in the summer, and people come in from all around. You know, people start gathering, you know, in the streets, and all of a sudden there's a specific little gathering. And then without any warning, there seems to be something weird kind of happening, you know? Like, well, maybe the Holy Spirit has descended upon these a group of men that are there. And these men start talking strangely. And a bigger crowd gathers. And now the media comes. And they start talking different languages that anyway you can't understand what they're saying. Does that make you feel comfortable? No, I don't think so. I mean, certainly the crowd's going to scoff at that and probably just say, oh, you know, these are probably some drunks that are left over from the night before, even though it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you're looking for a place of self-gratification where you seek to be served, you probably see yourself miles from anything like this. I mean, you're going to turn your vehicle around, you're going to hit the road because you've got absolutely no control over this process, over this whole thing. I mean, it doesn't serve you. But remember, this story is about the beginning of the church. And this church, at its very beginning, was described and dismissed as drunken. Now, both you and I know what drunken means. We know what it means. We're out of control. There's no longer anything reasonable going on. You know, I mean, we say things and do things that you wouldn't normally say or do if you were sober. And that's if you could even understand anything that's being said. Right? Does this idea of church being wild and crazy and drunken and what it does make you a little uncomfortable? Well, you know, if it doesn't, it really should. Because Peter, in our scripture, he even goes on and he says, oh, it's not special people. It's ordinary people, young people with not much education. It's going to be older people who don't have a lot of future left. They're the ones that are going to all of a sudden stand up and they're going to dream dreams and see visions and start making stirring speeches like you've never heard before. No longer are they going to let the despair and the disorder of the world have the final word. There's no room at all for self-gratification. In fact, it sounds a little bit like chaos. Well, it doesn't sound much like our comfortable little worship service that we have on Sunday mornings, does it? When the Holy Spirit descends on us, sometimes it feels like the destruction of our own personal, well-known world, where our comfortable little space, where people come to us and they serve us, that whole thing just feels like it's falling apart. I mean, this Spirit that we have been given is a real work of art. I mean, really. The first time that the Spirit exposes itself to the public, it was called drunken. This is what Jesus gave us. You know, I guess one can see the attraction that this concierge epidemic offers. I mean, the idea of carrying on like we're a bunch of drunks isn't exactly a major selling point you're going to want to put on the front of your bulletin for the church. But it makes a good point nonetheless. You know, what the concierge industry offers you and me, it doesn't make us people who look outward at our neighbor. Instead, everything it offers comes right back at us. It focuses right inward toward ourselves. It is self-gratification, a comfortable place that takes no chances. While the idea of belonging to a drunk church is enough to send people running in all kinds of directions. Yet that is still the description of the very roots of the church. Looking outward, doing things outside the confines of comfort and expectation, all designed to be in service to others. There's nothing in this story that focuses just on you and me, and how all your needs can be met. Now, this is the kind of story that I can make sense to me. And I know a couple of weeks ago I shared my faith story with you, and this is a perfect example of it. If I were to tell you that something happened in my life, I can tell you that something was the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Every step of the way. I mean, when I told my colleagues at work that I was going to hang it up, I'm 50 years old, I'm going to leave my 10 years of education that I really ground through, my students, teaching, research projects, and just walk based on a feeling that I had, I can assure you, they looked at me and thought I was nuts. They absolutely did. Drunk maybe, huh? And when Audrey and I, we would be telling people for years that we were going to take our own personal vacation time and our own personal money and scrape up whatever we could, and when we could put it together, we were going to go to Africa and we were going to work with the poor people over there. And I can't tell you how many people had asked us, why would you want to do that? I mean, there's no self-gratification there. Why not go to Jamaica where they'll actually serve you? But that is just what the Spirit does. It rips you right out of your little comfort zone and puts you into a place where you are uncomfortable. It's a place where that's just unknown to you and you don't feel worthy. It doesn't feel right for some reason. But at the same time, it's a place that you just automatically know you're not alone. God is seeking to build on a relationship that began with Jesus and has no end. And in this relationship, we're going to come to know his true peace, keep his commandments, and seek to cater to the legitimate needs of other people through the ministry of the church. Not just to satisfy our own needs. You know, it's a real sin for the church to just hunker down and do nothing, as if nothing new has ever happened. You know, it can be a pretty stable, comfortable feeling, especially during a transition period, like Trinity is currently in, and so many other churches. It seems like the place that the congregation and everyone is most comfortable is when everything is so quiet and running so smoothly, as if nothing new is happening. Church was never created to be that stable. We just have to know that. I mean, it's not this fixed resting place for an anxious culture. Rather, we are to be an explosion, a wildfire, a revolution that is a foretaste of a whole new age. Because for the church to be a church, we have to be part of that breathless race to keep up with the movement of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. That's how we began. And it's the only way that we can continue as a church. So what might our church be? What might Trinity look like if we were to just be a little more receptive to the wild promptings of the Holy Spirit? I mean, what would people say about us? Where might we be led? And how much adventure might be restored to our practice of the Christian faith if we took a little walk on the wild side. Well, it appears the church, it's not necessarily a place for a concierge self-gratifying mentality, but instead, the church is a place that was designed to make you drunk with, well, newness and possibilities. It's interesting. Amen. Let's pray. Father, when it comes to following you, we feel that we need to walk a fine line, a line that's ever so thin. But then you bring us scripture describing the birth of the church as drunken, and we know that's not a fine line, let alone a straight line. The Spirit is like the wind, ever moving in any direction, but always under your guidance. So we pray that your Spirit will fill this place, because we're ready. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.